Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to prepare for Pentecost. It's an amazing week in the church year, standing between the celebration of the Feast of the Ascension and this coming Sunday, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. All of this is connected, of course, to Jesus' entire life, obviously, and the time between Jesus' passion, death, and his resurrection. These 50 days we've been walking through is an amazing time in the church year, reminding each of us, again, what's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be the church. What has Jesus done? What does his resurrection mean for us here and now, today? So we've been looking at that this week, and if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer or download them on whatever device works for you and listen to them at your leisure. Yes, it's an amazing, amazing thing that Jesus has accomplished. Yesterday, I was reflecting from a simple paragraph, 668 from the Catechism, talking about Jesus' ascension and what that meant. And the church summarizes it so beautifully that at his ascension, Jesus, in his humanity, entered into the power and the glory, the power and the authority of God the Father. There's so much packed in that one sentence that has a lot to do with you and your future. Jesus took with him, when he ascended to the Father, your humanity and mine. Because Jesus is the firstborn of a new creation, that's what the scripture tells us. What it means is when he rose from the dead, he took with him his humanity, the humanity received from his mother Mary, and he rose in his body, not just in people's minds or not just in a spiritual way. He rose from the dead. And his body, he was taken up into glory. See, Jesus became one of us. And who are you? Who am I? I'm an embodied spirit. So are you. Every single human being was created in the image and likeness of God. And we are not just our spirits, which is a big confusion today, I think, in our culture. The idea of the kind of modern Gnosticism that who I am is really what's inside me, the feelings I have, or the spirit that's in me, something like that. But in reality, that's not just who you are. You are an embodied spirit. You never existed apart from your body in some form, even from the very moment of conception. There's a material reality there. And so when God comes to save us, he doesn't just save our spirit. He wants to save all of us as he's made us. And so Jesus begins in himself as he ascends to the Father, having risen from the dead, having been raised by the Father, and by having been raised by the Spirit as well, he's now taken up into glory. And he enters into the Father's presence and takes his place at the right hand of the Father. That means the Father now gives the faithful Son full authority over his entire realm, over all the Father's creation. It's now being ruled and governed by Jesus Christ, Mary's Son. He's ruling it in his glorified humanity. The second person of the Trinity, God's only begotten Son, God's eternal Son, has saved us because he's united himself to human flesh, becoming one of us. And then, as I mentioned yesterday, he gave to the Father in his life here on earth everything the Father commanded him to do, and Jesus was everything we were meant to be. That is, human beings who seek God first, who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, love their neighbor as themselves, and not just how we think or how we feel, but how we act, and that we have the Father's mission burning within us. And this is the mission that Jesus has passed on to the church, and the reason the church exists, and why he poured his Spirit into the church and gave the church the very power that moved him. You know, the Son and the Spirit have a common mission together from the Father to accomplish this saving work, to destroy the works of the devil and to destroy sin and its power and have dominion over the world of flesh and the devil. It's together in the Spirit, united to Jesus' humanity, that saving work was accomplished. And so Jesus now unites in your humanity and mine if you're baptized into him, that same Holy Spirit. And it's an anointing so you can become a child of God, so you can walk in holiness, you can become a saint. But what that also means is that you are consumed in what the Spirit is consumed by and what Jesus is consumed by. And that is the passion to seek and save the lost, to bring every single one of the Father's children that he made into the kingdom and to give them power to become children of God. So as we're moving toward the celebration of Pentecost, this is what's unfolding. And you can see why Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, and the recent popes have all said the same thing. You know, Paul VI saying the church lives by her perennial Pentecost. This is what she needs. This is what animates her life. The church is alive, not just because she's enthusiastic or she's got a wonderful music ministry. She's alive because she's born of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in her. And she can become all she's meant to be because she's received the power of the Holy Spirit. So it means to be Christian, to be christened by the Spirit, to be anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the church reminds us, echoing the scripture, we say it in the Creed on Sunday, that he has spoken, the Spirit has spoken to us through the prophets. The prophets of the Old Testament, the people of Israel, were anointed by the Spirit to prophesy, to proclaim, and to reveal God's plan and purpose in history. And we see it so clearly through the prophet Ezekiel, the prophet Jeremiah. This anticipation that was building in the people of Israel for the coming of the Messiah. There was confusion as to what that Messiah would be. Many thought he would be a great ruler like King David. He would come and he would destroy all the enemy. He'd drive the Romans out of Israel, out of Jerusalem. He'd establish a kingdom, and that kingdom would never be brought down. Jesus indeed did come to establish a kingdom. But he didn't come to establish the physical kingdom at that time in Jerusalem among the people of Israel. He came to deal with the bigger issue. Because the domination and the enslavement under the Romans is just an expression of a much deeper reality, that humanity and God's good creation is a battleground. And it's the battleground in which the kingdom of darkness has taken hold. As St. John the Apostle would say, the whole world is under the power of the devil. The reign, and we cannot escape on this earth the reality of the dominion of satanic power. We see it all the time. There's more bombs dropping, right? There's more wars, there's more separation, there's more family breakup, there's more suicides. I mean, you name it, it's everywhere. Why does this keep going on? I mean, why can't we fix it? We're smart, right? Aren't we the smartest? Aren't we this generation, the smartest generation in the history of the world? That's what we assume, right? And don't we have more money, more power, more technology, more education than any generation in human history? Then why haven't we fixed it all? Why hasn't Facebook, in its desire to unite the whole world, you know, as Mark Zuckerberg is, you know, describing, you know, trying to have a kind of unity across the globe? Why hasn't it been able to stop crime and stop war and stop lying and cheating and deception and have on Facebook itself a kind of charade and masquerade? How many people really project a false image of themselves in this place where you're supposed to, right, find people and have this viral community? I'm not just picking on them because I have an issue with them or something. I'm just saying it also is tainted by the fall. And we're in a mortal struggle. And only Jesus has the power to make it possible for us to be free, to be set free from captivity. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, Scripture says, there is freedom. Because the Spirit of God has never been bound by anything. And Jesus became one of us so he could unite the Holy Spirit to us. So the freedom of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit could be transmitted to us. Yes, each one of us, every person, rich, poor, black, white, you name it, for all who are willing to receive and welcome the gift of Jesus' saving sacrifice. To that human heart, Jesus desires to give a share in his sonship and the power of an indestructible life and an eternal future. The prophets anticipated this and prophesied it. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, "And I will give them a new heart, give them one heart. A new spirit will I put within them. I will remove from them a heart of stone and from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." The prophets are dialing in by God's grace and through the inspiration of the Spirit to the central problem, the hard human heart. Father Francis Martin used to say, buried deep within every human heart is a secret rancor against God and God's reign and his dominion, a hatred for having to be subject to another. Ezekiel 36:26, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." That's the heart of Jesus. It's a heart freed from the hardening of sin and pride and arrogance. And it's a humble heart. Jesus said, "I'm meek and humble of heart." And he was so glad to empty himself, to just obey the Father. He was so glad to say yes to the Father and to humble himself, because he's all about loving the Father. That's what a real healthy human heart looks like. That's what a saved, purified human heart looks like. Selfless, loving, self-donating in every way, according to the Father's purpose and plan. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, "But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's what Pentecost is about. The prophets are anticipating what Jesus was going to do, what the Messiah would do. The Spirit of God was united to humanity in the person of Jesus. And in Mary's son is the very heart the prophet's talking about. So beautiful, so free, love itself, patient, kind. Remember that passage everybody loves from 1 Corinthians? Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful. That's just a description of Jesus' heart, of who Jesus is. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is the fulfillment of this prophetic anticipation. It's the realization that the King has taken his throne and all power and glory belong to him. And the only thing that matters ultimately, friends, in human history is getting right with the King and participating and cooperating with him as he did with the Father's plan and purpose, because he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.